Live from KTLO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. President Donald Trump is pushing for a full exemption of the roadless rule in Alaska, according to a Washington Post story published this week. That would make logging and other development in the Tongass National Forest much easier. It's what Governor Mike Dunleavy and Senator Lisa Murkowski have been advocating for, but it's a big departure from what most people say that they'd like to see happen in the nation's largest national forest. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more on what a full exemption could mean.
President Donald Trump recently made a dad joke about Governor Dunleavy on a phone call at a private political event in Soldotna.
I wish he was a little bit bigger.
But he also referenced a few of the governor's priorities.
He's doing something with your logging and all of your other things. We're working on that together, and that's moving along.
That logging, as in the Tongass National Forest. The United States Department of Agriculture is deciding right now if new roads should be built in the Tongass and to what degree. It could increase access to new stands of old-growth trees, and Senator Murkowski says renewable energy projects. One option is to fully roll back the roadless rule in Alaska, but that's one extreme. The roadless rule has been in place for two decades across the country, and it makes it difficult to build new roads on national lands. Neil Lawrence, a senior attorney with the Natural Resource Defense Council, thinks fully exempting the Tongass from the roadless rule is a bad idea.
I mean, I think what we would see as a practical matter is a substantial increase in road building.
Lawrence doesn't think repealing the roadless rule would restore Alaska's struggling timber industry. He says despite an increase in access, it's not easy to make federal timber sales pencil out.
Southeast Alaska is a really challenging, difficult, terrible place to run a logging industry. It's one giant wetland. It's remote.
But he says a full exemption could open up the floodgates for other types of environmental damage. For example, the agency could be allowed to build roads in areas designated as important habitat for deer or salmon. Senator Lisa Murkowski thinks that's jumping to conclusions.
If you were to have a full exemption, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden anywhere anyone wants to put something, it's going to happen. I think it's reactionary, and I would just urge greater caution.
Residents in the organized village of Cake are concerned sweeping changes could affect the habitat in their backyard. Tribal President Joel Jackson says the salmon streams in Cake are still healing from the industrial logging of the past. He doesn't want to see a full exemption being considered today, though he suspects it might be a possibility.
As we move forward here and the economy gets tighter and tighter, it's going to be more important to our people and other rural communities also that we have food security.
In an emailed statement, the U.S. Forest Service said it was still looking at, quote, a range of alternatives to roadless management, end quote. The agency expects a draft environmental impact statement to be released this fall and a final decision in 2020. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
In a legal opinion published Tuesday, Alaska's Attorney General urges Governor Mike Dunleavy to pursue steps that could curtail union membership among public employees. It's a departure from the previous administration's approach, and union advocates aren't happy. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
The 12-page legal document addresses a Supreme Court ruling last year known as the Janus decision. In it, the court's conservative majority ruled that public employees who aren't members of unions don't have to pay dues, even if their interests are represented by a union in collective bargaining agreements. The move was a blow to organized labor, since it could cause declines in membership and revenues. The state's legal opinion, which was initiated earlier in the year at the request of the governor, argues that when the Walker administration addressed the issue, it left the unions with too much of a say in collecting dues from employees.
Unfortunately, our review revealed that the state is not fully complying with the Supreme Court's Janus decision.
In a call with reporters, Attorney General Kevin Clarkson says the prior administration did not go far enough implementing the Supreme Court's mandate. Clarkson's opinion repeatedly makes the case that union dues equate to political speech, and as such are a civil rights issue that the state needs to take a more active role protecting from, quote, coercion or improper inducement.
The state must control the process by which employees affirmatively opt in to union deductions.
Unions are not happy about the opinion. Jake Metcalf is the executive director for the Alaska State Employees Association in Anchorage.
The effect is that It makes it harder for employees to have union representation. It makes it harder for unions to represent the employees.
In a letter sent to state employees Tuesday, the Department of Administration's commissioner wrote that the governor's office, along with the Department of Law, will roll out a plan addressing union dues in the next couple weeks. That may be through an administrative order by the governor that makes public employee union membership an opt-in process overseen by the state, and that membership would have to potentially be renewed annually. Metcalf says if that happens, unions will sue.
If he follows through with an administrative order, then, you know, we're going to go to court and fight him from beginning to end on this.
Critics of Dunleavy say this policy is in line with highly conservative legal positions taken by the administration. Democratic Representative Zach Fields, who works for a union representing construction and healthcare workers, says the state's Janus opinion narrowly interprets the law to match the administration's political objectives.
The attorney general, once again, is making stuff up to reach an extreme ideological conclusion.
According to state figures, as of June 2018, there were close to 17,000 public employees, most of whom are represented by a recognized union and in professions ranging from civil servants and correctional officers to tradesmen and pilots. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Alaska's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board recently proposed a regulation change that would prevent breweries and distilleries from hosting social gatherings advertised to the public. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, brewers and distillers worry what the proposal could mean for their businesses.
Current state regulations restrict the activities that can take place at breweries and distilleries. Right now, they're not allowed to have live entertainment, dancing, televisions, pool tables, darts, or other recreational opportunities. On Monday, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board announced a proposal to clarify the definition of entertainment and recreational opportunities. The new definition would prohibit the use of tasting rooms as a venue for classes, performances, parties, festivals, and other events. Jeannie Kitayama runs the Haynes Brewing Company with her husband, Paul Wheeler. Their tasting room serves as an art gallery during the monthly First Friday event in Haynes. Kitayama says they would have to stop if the new regulations are adopted.
I don't want to lose the First Friday art because this is an opportunity. It's a great venue for an artist and for budding artists. We don't charge consignment. We collect money for them and give it to them, and it's just, I don't know. Yeah. It would be sad to lose a lot of that.
According to a memo from Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office Director Erica McConnell, the new language that prohibits these types of events aims to better reflect the legislative intent that brewery and distillery licenses are for manufacturers, not retailers. Port Chilkoot distillery owner Heather Shade disagrees with the state's approach to regulating breweries and distilleries. She believes the proposed regulations are a result of a lobbying effort to protect bar owners from competition with brewers and distillers.
I think the state should regulate the alcohol industry based on its mandate to protect public safety, and I don't see these particular regulations as falling within that.
It's not the first time that state regulations have been met with resistance from brewers and distillers. In 2017, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board decided that while bars could legally serve cocktails, distilleries could not. Lawmakers passed legislation a few months later that allowed distilleries to serve mixed drinks. Industry groups have begun to weigh in on the proposed restrictions on activities at breweries and distilleries. The Brewers Guild of Alaska opposes it, calling it a violation of First Amendment rights. The Alaska Cabaret, Hotel, Restaurant, and Retail Association, or CHAR, has not taken a position. In an email, Alaska CHAR's executive director, Sarah Oates, said that while setting clear requirements helps prevent confusion and frustration on all sides, the proposed regulations add challenges to the collaborative efforts that her organization has been working on with the Brewers Guild. The board's proposal to restrict the use of breweries and distilleries for certain public events is open to public comment until October 4th. In Haynes, I'm Henry Leisha.
A longtime fishing lobbyist has had his 41-ton salmon catch confiscated for allegedly fishing in closed waters near Sitka. Bob Thorstenson Jr., a past executive director of the Southeast Alaska Seiners Association, was commercial fishing Sunday in Crawfish Inlet when wildlife troopers say he came within 200 yards of a stream. In fishing industry circles, he's a household name. If convicted of the misdemeanor, Thorstensen faces up to a $15,000 fine and a year of imprisonment. And finally, here's the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough in Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, clear. Patchy fog, lows in the mid-40s. Light winds. Friday, sunny. Patchy fog, highs in the mid-70s. That's it for the KTO News Update for Thursday, August 29th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.